You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
So this year we started a sermon series. We started the year with a sermon series that has become a bit of a catch cry for our year. In fact, it's not just a catch cry, it is actually our theme for the year. It's love your life, all right? We bought a neon, and you're committed to something if you buy a neon, right? Like, that just proves it, you know? Your shop is definitely open if you've got a neon that's on and says open, right? And so that's my theory anyway. So we bought a neon and put it up there, that heart. Everywhere you see it, that's just us reminding you to love your life, that life is a gift from God and you can love your life. You know, we've broken that thing about 17 times over this renovation. And we're just so committed to telling you to love your life that we fix it every time, right? Like, come on, that's pretty cool, right? You know, some of you are like, you know, you just maybe don't break it. Hey, well, that's easier said than done, all right? Come on. It's actually our second heart. The first one accidentally had a pentagram in it, but we got rid of that real fast. Sometimes you don't notice things and other people tell you, and you're like, you know, let's get a new heart, right? Let's just redesign that thing, right? Yeah, anyway. This is the third service for the weekend, and y'all know when you come to the 10:45 service, anything can happen, right? Anything can happen. But anyway, back to what I'm talking about, the theme of the year, love your life. And, you know, life is a gift from God, isn't it? I'm glad you believe it. Tell everyone else. Hey, life is a gift from God. Do you believe it? Yeah, y'all awake in here? Good. You know, some of you might be new, and I need to warn you, like, in our church, it goes better for you when you yell at me. All right? It goes better for you when you respond, all right? It's either because I have an ego, so I preach better, or because where there's unity, God commands a blessing. Either way, just respond when I'm preaching to you, all right? If you get all quiet, I'm going to fall asleep, and then it's not just not going to be fun, all right? So anyway, so do you believe it that life is a gift from God? Yeah? And so if life is a gift from God, we don't want to waste it wishing that it was different, do we? We don't want to waste it wishing that we didn't have to endure it. We don't want to waste our whole life wishing we had life with other people or other things in our lives. Because life is a gift from God. In fact, better than life itself, like this breathing, better than that is this new life that we got when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ. It's the greatest gift on earth. Salvation, hope, love, grace, mercy, these things that God gave us when we accepted Christ into our life, they're so good. That life is good with them, amen? You've been saved from what? Saved from hell. That's good news. Just in case y'all didn't know that. That's great news. That's God up there saying, hallelujah. Praise God. Never-ending hope. Love that won't fade away. Won't give up on you. Some people are like, I love you. I love you. I'll never leave you. And then what happens? They leave you. They walk away. They divorce you. Or something goes on. But his love will never leave you. I know you. Maybe daddy walked out when you were young. Hey, I had a parent walk out when I was young. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Amen. It's a love that won't fade away. Grace that gives us blessings that we haven't even earned, and mercy that overlooks wrong that we've done. Is God good? Come on, in fact, I like to say it this way. God's grace gives us things that we don't deserve, and God's mercy doesn't give us exactly what we deserve. Now, we're not in love with the ways of the world. That's not what we're saying. We love the ways of God in this world and in our lives. We love all that God has given us and all that God is doing in us and all that God is doing through us. Amen. Church, I want to remind you today that it is a blessing to have life. That it is a blessing to be saved. It is a blessing to live life with Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Now, I know that sometimes the devil wants to confuse you and wants to rob you of your joy. I know that he tries to hide the blessings of God behind the shadows of his destruction. But what we want to do is learn to live a life. Come on, we want to learn to live a life that hides the destruction of the devil behind the shadow of the glory and the blessing of God. Can I get an amen? So whatever's happened to you, wherever you are, God is still good. You ever know that? God is still good. Come on, touch your neighbor, say, God is still good. Touch your other neighbor, say, he'll always be good. See, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, right? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I have already come. I have come. The devil comes, but I'm already there. The devil comes, knock, 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 open the door. Jesus here. The devil rings your phone. Jesus here. Come on now. The devil comes, but Jesus said, I have already come and given you life, and I'm going to give you life abundantly. So remember this, church, life is a gift from God. Look for the good in it. Focus on the love in it. Focus on the blessing in it, amen. Focus on the one who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Did you know that Scripture says that? Did you know that's from Scripture? It says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth. In other words, everything good on this planet comes from God, and he chose to give you life. That's good news, amen. So in this sermon series, I guess it's kind of going to be like part two of that sermon series. I know I just preached a whole other sermon first, all right? That was the Love Your Life sermon series. It's a gift from God. Love it. Well, this is going to be part two of that sermon series, right? And I've called it Have a Laugh. Touch your neighbor and say, have a laugh. Touch your other neighbor and in a British accent, because it sounds way cooler in British, say, have a laugh, chappie. I'm not British, if you're wondering, by the way. I'm Australian. It's like Britain, but way better. If you believe it, say amen. If the person next to you didn't say amen, punch him in the shoulder. Now, you might think that a sermon series called Have a Laugh is going to be a lame sermon full of lame jokes like, hey, if anyone needs an ark, I can help. I happen to know a guy. You might think that, and I can understand you would. Yeah, you come to church and they've got a sermon series called Have a Laugh. You might think it'll be full of lame jokes like a priest, a pastor and a rabbi went to see who's best at his job, so each one goes into the woods to find a bear and attempts to convert it. Later, they all gather together and the priest begins and says, when I found the bear, I read to him from the catechism, sprinkled him with holy water, and next week is his first communion. Well, I found the bear by the stream, says the minister, the pastor, and preached God's holy word, and the bear was so mesmerized that he let me baptize him then and there. And then they both look down at the rabbi who is laying on a gurney, all bloody and in a body cast. And he says, looking back, perhaps I shouldn't have started with circumcision. Now, you might think that a sermon series called Have a Laugh would be full of lame jokes like that, but I'm not going to tell any jokes today. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell those jokes. I'm certainly not going to tell any jokes when in 2 weeks, Michael Jr. will be standing on this stage. I don't want to be compared to him. By the way, buy your tickets, myeternity.com. Now, it's free at church, don't worry. We would never charge for church, all right? Saturday night, 7 p.m. service, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. and 10:45 service. Those are always free. Church is always free. But we are just the venue hosting for them, and they're just giving us first dibs on all the tickets, all right? So go to myeternity.com and buy your ticket for the Sunday night service, which is the Sunday night event at 6 p.m., full stand-up comedy. This guy's amazing. Been on Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, Saturday Night Live, Oprah, all these shows, right? The world loves him, but he's an amazing believer in Jesus, and he preaches the word too, all right? So don't miss out on that. But would you tell jokes if that guy was going to be the next guy on your stage? You wouldn't, would you? So I'm not going to. Instead, I'm going to talk to you about living a blessed life, a happy and a fun-loving life. Does that sound good? Fantastic. Don't you think you ought to be allowed to smile in church? Yeah? Don't you think, like, you should be allowed to laugh in church? Should be able to enjoy church? I've got a mate who's so convinced that people should enjoy church. He's like, you know what? I'm going to call my church Enjoy Church. So their church is named Enjoy Church. I'm like, that makes sense. You should enjoy church, right? See, one of the many things that I love about our church, one of the many things I love about eternity, is when I look around, I see people laughing, I see people hugging, some people crying, some people high-fiving. I see people who came in sad, depressed, beaten up, leaving laughing, smiling, encouraged and uplifted by the presence of God and by you too, by the people of God, and it is good, isn't it? It is so good. Don't you think that if somebody is sad, because hey, if the church is the hospital, if the church is the place where broken people are allowed to come, there's going to be sad people coming in. There's going to be hurting people coming in. There's going to be cussing people coming in. Come on, get over it, right? There's going to be all sorts of people coming in here. And what I think should happen is they should leave a little bit happier than when they walked in. They should leave a little bit healthier, a little bit whole-er, that's a word now, than when they walked in. Do you believe that? See, some places, though, some religious places look so depressing, don't they? But in general, I think we should see smiles in church every single week. I love that it happens here at church. But some people and some preachers have forgotten to tell their faces about their salvation. It's like, hey, I'm not going to hell, but life sucks. So does your face know you're going to heaven, bro? Does your face know that you serve a God who blesses you, hears your prayers, loves you, and answers your prayers? Does your face know that? Come on now. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, does your face know you're saved? Touch your other neighbor and say, yo, tell your face. Why do so many people think the church is boring or mean-spirited place? Why do some churches people come in and they're looking at everybody's face? They're all like this, we're saved. No, they don't do that. We're saved. Fully sanctified, sick, bro. It's awesome. I got Jesus, the joy of the Lord in my heart, deep down in my heart. And my life sucks. If you come to church, yours can too. Like what? God is good, people. God is good, people. Amen. God saved your soul. He gave you grace and mercy, hope that endures. He'll never leave you. Amen. The church is the greatest place in the city where the uptight get loosened up, where the overly religious find freedom from their man-made expectations, where the downcast are inspired, where the mourning is turned to dancing and sorrow is made into joy. Proverbs, yeah, come on, praise God. If you're going to praise him, praise him. If you're going to clap, clap. Proverbs says that laughter is good medicine for your soul. It tells us that a merry heart is good for our health. Did you know that a good old laugh can minister to your spirit? How about that? That a good old laugh and a chuckle can minister to your spirit and help your health. I love that the Word of God said things thousands of years ago that scientists are now like, oh, that's true. We didn't doubt it. We knew it. The Word of God is true, amen. But sometimes people be like, don't laugh in church. Don't laugh in public. Don't laugh at that. Yo, why are you laughing? But I'm telling you, forget the rules. Come on, touch your neighbor. Forget about it. Someone say, forget about it. Laugh if it's funny, right? Laugh if it's funny, eh? Scripture's clear, though, about not making crude, sexualized, or filthy jokes. That's not good for you. That's not good for your friends. That's not good for your marriage. But other than that, if it's funny, God made you with a sense of humor that makes you laugh. You know, when you laugh, God's not like, oh, it happened again. It's broken. Adam and Eve standing there in the jungle. I call it the jungle. The garden. They're butt naked. It's just true. It's weird, but it's true. Adam's telling Eve a joke. He's like, yo, Eve, why'd a chicken cross the road? He's like, I don't know, Adam, what's a road? He's like, you'll find out in thousands of years. Cars going along it. He crossed it to get to the other side. And Eve just busts out laughing. She thinks it's the funniest joke she's ever heard because it's the only joke she's ever heard. And she's laughing and laughing and laughing. God's not in heaven going, it's broken. What happened to that thing? What's wrong with it? No, God made Adam and Eve with a sense of humor so they could laugh. God made you with a sense of humor so you could laugh, amen? Have you ever laughed at inappropriate times? Come on, hands up if you've done that. Yeah? Yeah, the rest of you are liars. Praise God for grace and mercy. Sometimes, growing up, I hadn't yet learned the adult perfection of hiding all of my emotions. You know, like how we're supposed to take all of our feelings and all of our emotions and we're supposed to bury them? You know, like deep, deep, like deep, 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 deep down in the darkest pit of our souls. I hadn't learned how to do that yet. One day, my dad was yelling at me, probably because I left my thong on the floor or something like that, in the lounge room or something like that, and my flip-flop. Flip-flop. Where were you, Duquesne? Flip-flop. Y'all know that's Australian for flip-flop, right? Get your minds out of the gutter. And anyway, you don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe it was whatever. I don't know. You didn't know me. Anyway, my dad's yelling at me for leaving my flip-flop on the floor in a lounge room or something like that. And, you know, it just sneaks up on you, the whole laughing thing, doesn't it? And I'm like, well, my face doesn't, no laughter on my face. You know, like the first laugh, it just sneaks out your nose holes, doesn't it? It's like, so funny, son. Nothing. And then it starts busting out your mouth too, right? It's like, funny thing with laughing though, you ever notice when you try not to, it gets angry. And it gets harder not to laugh. The laugh's like, oh, I'm coming out. Oh, I'm coming out. You got to believe it's going to be a quiet one now or a loud one in 30 seconds. But I'm coming out, right? And so my dad's yelling at me, and then I'm like, I just start laughing like a barge blowing its horn going down a river. And then all of a sudden, I think, man, dad's going to belt me so hard right now. But then my dad, he just starts laughing his head off. Because laughter's contagious, isn't it, right? You ever done that with your kids? They come up to you and they're like, yada, yada, yada. And you're like about to tell them off, but then they're laughing. And then you go, poof, and you start laughing. And now you've lost all credibility. And now you can't discipline your child because you laughed at the fact that they just slapped their brother. You're like, that's not funny. Why am I laughing? Because a little punk made me laugh, right? Like, you know, I'm not the only one. Don't all act like I'm the only bad parent in here. Come on now. Someone thank God that he fills our gaps, amen. Laughter's contagious though, isn't it? Anyone else ever laughed when no one else is, but no one else would? You know, like I laughed at my grandpa's funeral. Like you don't do that. I love my grandpa, he's a legend, right? An absolute champion. And you know, but like if not for him getting up at 5 a.m. every single day of the week to pray for all of his grandkids, I wouldn't be here and there'd be 15 less churches in the world. And so I thank God for him. But my cousin was telling stories at Grandpa's funeral. And I thought Grandpa's a bit of a funny bloke, you know. Like he people didn't realize it, but he's a funny bloke. And he'd say things, he'd do things. He had a dry sense of humor. And so my cousin's telling these stories and I'm going off in a tangent in my head. I'm just like following the stories on their natural course. And I'm starting to think about Grandpa and how he would do them. And out of nowhere, I did it again. It just starts to leak out my nose, the laughter. And I'm like, no way, not here. My mouth is betraying me, right? Like, this is not cool. I start laughing. Then I'm like, people start turning around then, you know? They're like, who's this moron laughing at Grandpa's funeral? And so then, you know, I did what any self-respecting person would do. Try to squeeze out a tear. Get out. Come on. So people won't, you ever done that? Like, you know, you're laughing, but you know you're supposed to be crying. So instead you're like, oh, sad. They all thought I was going to hell. Every single one of them had judged me. You ever been the only one to laugh at a movie? Gets quiet, it's not funny. You think it is, no one else does. The main character just drove off a cliff and died. But you just thought it was funny how it happened, right? not that had happened, and then it's loud, but as soon as you go, the music stopped. And everyone in the whole room now thinks you're a sociopath. God made you, right? It's all good to laugh. When it happens, it happens. Don't even worry about it, all right? God made us on purpose. He made you on purpose. He made you like him. He has emotions, and scripture even talks about God laughing. All the emotions that you have, God has them too. God gets angry. Jesus sitting in a temple making his own whip. He's so angry, right? Scripture talks about that. It talks about God laughing. God didn't make a mistake when he made you. And laughter is one of the gifts that God gave us, that he knit in us on purpose to help us every day in our lives and forever. Amen. And I'm going to tell you now, you should have fun in church. Church should be fun. Do you believe that? If you do, say amen. And you should look for opportunity to laugh all week long. And I'm going to give you a few reasons right out of the Bible why you should have fun. Because I know some of y'all be in here, well, maybe one of you, you're like, no way a sermon about laughing can come from the Bible. No, it can and it will. It's full of scripture after scripture, book after book and chapter after chapter about the joy of the Lord, about having a laugh, and about how laughter is medicine for your soul, amen. So I'm going to give you a few reasons right out of the Word of God why you should have fun and why laughing is good for you. If you want it, say I want it. Well, number one, the world will see it and praise God because of it. How about that? Psalm 126 says, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations. The Lord has done great things for them. For them. Stop holding it in. Stop hiding your heart. Stop trying to fit into an overly religious, anti-Christ-like lifestyle. When people see the joy of the Lord in your heart and hear the laughter on your lips, they'll acknowledge the power of your God. Amen. And he agrees again. They'll say, look what the Lord has done. You want to know number two? It'll help you get through a bad day. Proverbs 15:13, a cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. A sad heart makes it hard to get through the day. You know what my favorite channel to watch when I'm having a bad day is? It's not Fox News. It's not CNN News. It's not Prime Country or Johnny Cash, although those two would come up close second. Can I admit that to y'all? My favorite is Laugh USA, the comedy channel. See, some of my days are big, some of my days are long, sometimes I have a bad day, and that is not the right time to listen to CNN or Fox. Don't do that at all. It's certainly not the right time to listen to country music, or at least not like old school country music, like, my wife died, my dog ran away, my life sucks, and yours can too. Like, you don't want to do that, right? Like, don't listen to country music when you're having a bad day. I would just sit in my car, laughing and laughing and laughing, listening to Laugh USA. And I mean, like, I got a real ugly laugh, right? I don't have that pretty or that handsome smile that many of you have got. My laugh is so ugly. It's like, ah, you know, like people are driving past me on the interstate and they look at my face and they speed up because they think I'm stroking and they don't want to get hit by my car. But I don't care. I get out of the car after a good old laugh, and I feel good. I add some worship music to my day, and I'm pumped. Two of the greatest gifts God gave us to lift up your mood, to lift up your day, and to endure a rough day is worship and laughter. And they're gifts from God, all right? And afterwards, you're pumped and ready to do anything. Laughter will help you through the day. So let it out. Let it go. And there's joy in this place, isn't there? Yeah, you're still awake. You're still here. Is it still good? There's laughter. There's joy in this place. And so have a laugh. You want some more? I got a little bit more, all right? I'm nearly ready to land the plane, but I got a little bit more for you, all right? Number three, in God's presence is real joy. in God's presence is real joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence and eternal pleasures at your right hand." Church, you don't need to be rich. You don't need to be poor to have joy. You don't need things or alcohol or cars to have joy. You need a friendship with God. You need to stand in the presence of God and get an understanding of who He is, what He's done for you, because in His presence is full joy. Amen. It doesn't say in a 10,000 square foot home is fullness of joy. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with having a 10,000 square foot home. If you've got one, awesome, invite me over. I want to swim in your pool. I can't wait, because if you've got a 10,000 square foot home, you definitely have a pool. It doesn't say that in a one-bedroom apartment is fullness of joy. It doesn't say you got to go Mother Teresa style to have full joy. It doesn't say in a handsome husband or a magazine wife. It doesn't say in the bedroom is fullness of joy. It says in His presence. In His presence is full joy. Church should overflow with joy and hope, shouldn't it? Don't you reckon? This place should be like a fountain. No, you know what? Not even a fountain. It's a fire hydrant at the community. They're trying to drive past all angry and they're like, "Ah, whoa, what happened?" I drove past Eternity Church. If you come here without hope, guess what? Hope awaits you now, amen. Is this still good? Good, I got one more. Just one more as the band comes out. I got one more, and it is a ripper. Touch your neighbor, say, "It's gonna be a ripper." Touch your other neighbor, say, "What's a ripper?" It means awesome in Australia, all right? Write this down. Get your pens out. Get your pens out. This is really important, all right? This is really important. Write it down. Get your pens out. Get your phones out. Get Twitter out. Get Facebook out. Listen to this. God turns sorrow into joy. God turns your sorrow into joy. See, right now, does y'all stand up with me? Right now, I'm talking to the people in the room who are going through a divorce. Right now, I'm talking to the people in the room who are hurting, who are broken. I'm talking to the people that have been cheated on. I'm also talking to the people in the room who cheated on. I'm talking to the ones who feel forgotten. I'm talking to the ones who cry now. When Jesus preached a sermon on the mount, He walked up the mountain, and the crowds, they followed Him up there, and He began to speak to them all. He addressed each and every one of them. He addressed each and every one of us. And at that moment, He spoke to the poor. He spoke to the hungry. He spoke to those who have been hated and to those who have been excluded. He spoke to the insulted and the ones who have been called evil because of Jesus. And He calls us all out by name because all of us have been one of those things. We've all either been poor or hungry physically or hungry spiritually, or we've been hated by people, we've been excluded by people, we've all been insulted by people, we've all been called evil by some people, maybe because we love Jesus, maybe because at that time we didn't. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. But Jesus calls us all out by name. And then He does something beautiful. And He says, as He looks at those who weep now, if you're one of the ones who weep now, if your heart and your soul feels overwhelmed with sorrow, weeping, if you feel like that has become your story, He looks at you in the crowd and with His finger pointed at you. He says, "Blessed are those who weep now, for you will laugh." How about that? Blessed are those who weep now, for you will laugh. He didn't say blessed you will be one day when people stop being mean to you. No. Blessed are those who weep now. Why? Jesus is standing in front of you and He's saying, blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you who cry now. because I am the God who turns mourning into dancing. I am the God who brings joy in the place of sorrow. I am the God who gives medicine to your soul when it hurts. And I am standing in front of you, and you are in my presence, and in his presence is full joy. Fullness of joy is hope, salvation, peace, love, grace, mercy. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. So let God do what God does. Let God bring cheer to your heart better than any wine or any drug ever could. Let God put a smile on your face. Let God restore to you the joy of salvation, or bring it to you for the first time. Come on, church, and as a church, we've got to let people smile. If you're having a bad day, they don't have to. Let people smile. Let people laugh. Let people respond to what God is doing in their hearts. And if you need prayer today, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to step into the aisle and walk toward the front so our team can pray for you, that God will turn your sorrow into joy. In fact, if everybody could close their eyes and bow their heads right now, typically at this time of the service, I would invite people to give their lives to Jesus. We're going to do that later today in about 5 or 10 minutes. But right now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, you know who you are when I ask this question. If you come to this place and you feel like the story of your life has been, is, or is now sorrow, weeping, hurt, blessed are you today, because he's going to bring you so much joy that your life will have laughter again. I'm not saying you're going to laugh right now, but he's going to bring you joy, and your life will be a life of joy and laughter again. And so right now, while no one is looking around, it's only me and your Heavenly Father are watching you right now. If you feel like that has been your story and you want to receive the gift of God, a life of joy and laughter again, when no one's looking around, lift your hand up right now. There's like hands going up everywhere around this place. Everywhere around it. Like tons and tons of hands everywhere. Everywhere. You can put your hand down. You took the first step just then. I want you to take another step in a moment. I said at the start, it's one thing to have faith, it's another thing to act and move on it. If I'm standing here with a t-shirt and I say, come and get it, if you want it, you can have it for free. Just believing in the t-shirt's one thing, but stepping out and going and picking up the t-shirt is another thing. There's faith that I will see you, and then there's action to come and receive it. I'm telling you right now, you're standing in the presence of God, and God is asking you right now, do you want me to replace your sorrow with joy? Do you want me to turn your mourning into dancing? Do you want me to heal your broken heart? Because if you do, right now, while no one is looking, just step into the aisle and walk down the front. Just right now, there's other people. You're not alone. There's heaps of people. Just step into that aisle and walk down the front. Come on down. Join them down there. Just join them down there right now. Everyone's eyes are closed. It's all good. There's people coming down. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just walk down the front. Walk down the front. We're going to turn your mourning into dancing. Turn your sorrow into joy. Praise the Lord. Just walk down. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am, as you come. I just pray that as you walk down here, you start to feel the Holy Ghost just start to touch your life and bless your life as you come down. Amen. And you, all of you. I'm going to walk off this stage in a second. But first, I want to pray for these people. And then as I walk away, I want my team to come and lay hands on them and pray prayers of faith, believing that it would be a new day in their life. I want you to pray a prayer for them, that God would turn their mourning into dancing, their sorrow into joy, that sorrow would not be the summation of their lives, but that the declaration of their lives would be joy, would be, look what the Lord has done in them. Heavenly Father, we just pray for them all right now. Everyone down the front, God, and we ask you to bless their hearts. We ask you to remove that sorrow. We ask you to remove that pain, Lord God. We ask you to take it away and throw it so far away, Lord God, that they would never be able to see it again. Lord God, I ask you to bless them, to fill their hearts and their lives with joy again, with joy, the joy of the Lord, the joy of their salvation in Jesus' name. Lord God, I pray you seal that upon their lives right now. Church, we're just going to worship the Lord. If you want prayer for anything else, just come down the front. Join the people down the front. Don't worry where people stand. Just walk right up to that, right up to the stage. Just stand there, and someone from our team will come and pray for you. But I'll tell you what I wouldn't do if I was you. I wouldn't walk into somewhere where sorrow is my story and have God saying, hey, I've got joy down here. All you got to do is come and get it. I wouldn't walk out of that place and say, you know what? Nah, I'll do this for another week. I like this. Let's not do that. Come on, I would come down the front and get prayer. That's what I would do. And I pray that your heart is filled with the boldness to come and grab what's yours, to come and grab what God has already paid for. Amen. So God bless your church. If you need prayer, walk down the front. Come on, let's sing.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.